105. Spirit, Mind, and Body. 6 years ago. Only the very most important people were allowed to watch Gavilar's holy interment. Dalinar stood at the front of the small crowd gathered in the royal catacombs of Kolinar, beneath the stone site of kings. Fires burned at the sides of the room, a primal light, traditional. Distinctly more alive than the light of spheres, it reminded him of the rift. But for once, that pain was overpowered by something new. A fresh wound. The sight of his brother lying dead on the slab.
"Spirit, mind, and body," the wizened Ardent said, her voice echoing in the stone catacomb. "Death is the separation of the three. The body remains in our realm to be reused. The spirit rejoins the pool of divine essence that gave it birth. And the mind goes to the Tranquiline Halls to find its reward."
Dalinar's nails bit his skin as he clenched his hands into fists, tight, to keep him from trembling.
"Gavilar the Majestic," the Ardent continued, "first king of Alethkar in the new Kolin dynasty, 32nd high prince of the Kolin princedom, heir of the Sunmaker and blessed of the Almighty. His accomplishments will be lauded by all, and his dominion extends to the hereafter. Already he leads men again on the battlefield, serving the Almighty in the true war against the Voidbringers."
The Ardent thrust a bony hand toward the small crowd.
"Our king's war has moved to the Tranquiline Halls. The end of our war for Roshar did not end our duty to the Almighty. Think upon your callings, men and women of Alethkar. Think of how you might learn here and be of use in the next world."
Yevhena would use any available opportunity to preach. Dalinar clenched his hands tighter, angry at her, angry at the Almighty. Dalinar should not have lived to see his brother die. This was not the way it should have gone. He felt eyes on his back. Collected high princes and wives, important Ardents, Navani, Yasna, Elokar, Aesodon, Dalinar's sons. Nearby, High Prince Sabario glanced at Dalinar, eyebrows raised. He seemed to be expecting something. "I'm not drunk, you idiot," Dalinar thought. "I'm not going to make a scene to amuse you." Things have been going better lately. Dalinar had started controlling his vices. He'd confined his drinking to monthly trips away from Kolinar, visiting outer cities. He said the trips were to let Elokar practice ruling without Dalinar looking over his shoulder, as Gavilar had been spending more and more time abroad. But during those trips, Dalinar drank himself to oblivion, letting himself escape the sounds of children crying for a few precious days. Then, when he returned to Kolinar, he controlled his drinking. And he'd never again yelled at his sons, as he had at poor Renarin during that day on the way back from the Shattered Plains. Adolin and Renarin were the only pure remnant of Evie. "If you control your drinking when back in Kolinar," a part of him challenged, "what happened at the feast? Where were you when Gavilar was fighting for his life?"
"We must use King Gavilar as a model for our own lives," the Ardent was saying. "We must remember that our lives are not our own. This world is but the skirmish to prepare us for the true war."
"And after that?"
Dalinar asked, looking up from Gavilar's corpse. The Ardent squinted, adjusting her spectacles.
"High Prince Dalinar?"
"After that, what?" Dalinar said. "After we win back the Tranquiline Halls, what then? No more war?" Is that when we finally get to rest?
You needn't worry, Blackthorn,
Yavenna said.
Once that war is won, the Almighty will certainly provide for you another conquest.
She smiled comfortingly, then moved on to the ritual sayings. A series of kedeks, some traditional, others composed by female family members for the event. Ardents burned the poems as prayers and braziers. Dalinar looked back down at his brother's corpse, which stared upward, lifeless blue marbles replacing his eyes. Brother, he'd said, follow the codes tonight. There is something strange upon the winds. Dalinar needed something to drink, Stormit.
You, always about dreams. My soul weeps. Farewell, weeping soul. My dreams about always you.
The poem slapped him harder than the others. He sought out Navani and knew instantly that the Kedek had been hers. Gazing straight ahead, she stood with one hand on Elikar's, King Elikar's, shoulder. So beautiful. Next to her, Yasna stood with arms wrapped around herself, eyes red. Navani reached toward her, but Yasna pulled away from the others and stalked off toward the palace proper. Dalinar wished he could do the same, but instead drew himself to attention. It was over. He'd never have a chance to live up to Gavilar's expectations. Dalinar would live the rest of his life as a failure to this man whom he had loved so dearly. The hall grew still, quiet save for the crinkling sound of paper burning in the fires. The soul caster stood up, and old Yavenna stepped hastily backward. She wasn't comfortable with what was coming next. None of them were, judging by the shuffling feet, the coughs into hands. The soul caster might have been male, might have been female. Hard to say with that hood up over their face. The skin beneath was colored like granite, cracked and chipped, and seemed to glow from within. The soul caster regarded the corpse, head cocked, as if surprised to find a body here. They ran their fingers along Gavilar's jaw, then brushed the hair off his forehead.
The only part of you that is true, the soulcaster whispered, tapping a stone that had replaced one of the king's eyes.
Then, light emerged as the soulcaster drew their hand from their pocket, revealing a set of gemstones bound into a fabrial. Dalinar didn't look away, despite how the light made his eyes water. He wished he'd taken a drink or two before coming. Was he really supposed to watch something like this while sober? The soulcaster touched Gavilar on the forehead, and the transformation happened instantly. One moment Gavilar was there, the next he had become a statue. The soulcaster slipped a glove onto their hand, while other Ardents hurried to remove the wires that had held Gavilar's body in position. They used levers to tip him carefully forward until he was standing, holding a sword with point toward the ground, his other hand outstretched. He stared toward eternity, crown on his head, the curls of his beard and hair preserved delicately in the stone. A powerful pose. The mortuary sculptors had done a fantastic job. The Ardents pushed him back into an alcove where he joined the lines of other monarchs, most of them high princes of the Colin princedom. He would be forever frozen here, the image of a perfect ruler in his prime. Nobody would think of him as he'd been that terrible night, broken from his fall, his grand dreams cut short by treason.
I'll have vengeance, mother, Elikar whispered. I'll have it.
The young king spun toward the gathered light eyes, standing before his father's outstretched stone hand.
You've each come to me privately to give support. Well, I demand you swear it in public. Today, we make a pact to hunt those who did this. Today, Alethkar goes to war.
He was greeted by stunned silence.
I swear it, Torol Sadius said. I swear to bring vengeance to the traitorous Parshman, your majesty. You can depend upon my sword.
Good, Dalinar thought as others spoke up. This would hold them together. Even in death, Gavilar provided an excuse for unity. Unable to stand that stone visage any longer, Dalinar left, stomping into the corridor toward the palace proper. Other voices echoed after him as high princes swore. If Elokar was going to chase those Parshendi back toward the plains, he'd expect the Blackthorn's help. But Dalinar hadn't been that man for years. He patted his pocket, looking for his flask. Damnation. He pretended he was better these days, kept telling himself he was in the process of finding a way out of this mess, of returning to the man he'd once been. But that man had been a monster. Frightening that nobody had blamed him for the things he'd done. Nobody but Ebby, who had seen what the killing would do to him. He closed his eyes, hearing her tears. "Father?" a voice said from behind. Dalinar forced himself to stand upright, turning as Adolin scrambled up to him. "Are you well, father?"
"Yes," Dalinar said. "I just need to be alone."
Adolin nodded.
Almighty above, the boy had turned out well, through little effort of Dalinar's.
Adolin was earnest, likable, and a master of the sword. He was truly capable in modern Alethi society, where how you moved among groups was even more important than strength of arm. Dalinar had always felt like a tree stump in those kinds of settings. Too big, too stupid.
"Go back," Dalinar said. "Swear for our house on this vengeance pact."
Adolin nodded, and Dalinar continued onward, fleeing those fires below. Gavilar's stare judging him, the cries of people dying in the rift. By the time he reached the steps, he was practically running. He climbed one level, then another. Sweating, frantic, he raced through ornate hallways, past carved walls, sedate woods, and accusatory mirrors. He reached his chambers and scrabbled in his pockets for the keys. He'd locked the place tight. No more would Gavilar sneak in to take his bottles. Bliss waited inside. No, not bliss. Oblivion. Good enough. His hands wouldn't stop shaking. He couldn't. Follow the codes tonight. Dalinar's hands trembled and he dropped the keys. There is something strange upon the winds. Screams for mercy.
Get out of my head. All of you, get out.
In the distance, a voice. You must find the most important words a man can say.
Which key was it?
He got one into the lock, but it wouldn't turn. He couldn't see. He blinked, feeling dizzy.
Those words came to me from one who claimed to have seen the future, the voice said, echoing in the hallway.
Feminine. Familiar.
How is this possible? I asked in return. Have you been touched by the void? The reply was laughter. No, sweet king. The past is the future, and as each man has lived, so must you. So I can but repeat what has been done before? In some things, yes. You will love, you will hurt, you will dream, and you will die. Each man's past is your future. Then what is the point, I asked, if all has been seen and done? The question, she replied, is not whether you will love, hurt, dream, and die. It is what you will love, why you will hurt, when you will dream, and how you will die. This is your choice. You cannot pick the destination, only the path.
Dalinar dropped the keys again, sobbing. There was no escape. He would fall again. Wine would consume him like a fire consumed a corpse, leaving only ash. There was no way out.
This started my journey,
the voice said, and this begins my writings. I cannot call this book a story, for it fails at its most fundamental to be a story. It is not one narrative, but many. And though it has a beginning, here on this page, my quest can never truly end. I wasn't seeking answers. I felt that I had those already, plenty in multitude from a thousand different sources. I wasn't seeking myself. This is a platitude that people have ascribed to me, and I find the phrase lacks meaning. In truth, by leaving, I was seeking only one thing, a journey. For years it seemed that Dalinar had been seeing everything around him through a haze. But those words, something about them, could words give off light? He turned from his door and walked down the corridor searching for the source of the voice. Inside the royal reading room he found Jasnah, with a huge tome set before her at a standing table. She read to herself, turning to the next page, scowling.
"What is that book?"
Dalinar asked. Jasnah started. She wiped her eyes, smearing the makeup, leaving her eyes clean but raw. Holes in a mask.
"This is where my father got that quote," she said. The one he
wrote as he died.
Only a few knew of that.
What book is it?
An old text, Jasnah said. Ancient, once well regarded. It's associated with the Lost Radiance, so nobody references it anymore. There has to be some secret here. A puzzle behind my father's last words. A cipher? But what?
Dalinar settled down into one of the seats. He felt as if he had no strength.
"Will you read it to me?"
Jasnah met his eyes, chewing her lip as she'd always done as a child. Then she read in a clear, strong voice, starting over from the first page, which he'd just heard. He had expected her to stop after a chapter or two, but she didn't, and he didn't want her to. Dalinar listened, rapt. People came to check on them. Some brought Jasnah water to drink. For once, he didn't ask them for anything. All he wanted was to listen. He understood the words, but at the same time, he seemed to be missing what the book said. It was a sequence of vignettes about a king who left his palace to go on a pilgrimage. Dalinar couldn't define, even to himself, what he found so striking about the tales. Was it their optimism? Was it the talk of paths and choices? It was so unpretentious, so different from the boasts of society or the battlefield. Just a series of stories, their morals ambiguous. It took almost 8 hours to finish, but Jasnah never gave any indication she wanted to stop. When she read the last word, Dalinar found himself weeping again. Jasnah dabbed at her own eyes. She had always been so much stronger than he was, but here they shared an understanding. This was their sending off to Gavilar's soul. This was their farewell. Leaving the book on the lectern, Jasnah walked over to Dalinar as he stood up. They embraced, saying nothing. After a few moments, she left. He went to the book, touching it, feeling the lines of the writing stamped into its cover. He didn't know how long he'd been standing there when Adolin peeked in.
"Father, we're planning to send expeditionary forces to the Shattered Plains. Your input would be appreciated."
"I must," Dalinar whispered, "go on a journey."
"Yeah," Adolin said, "it's a long way. Might get some hunts in while we're on our way, if there's time. Elikar wants these barbarians wiped out quickly. We could be gone and back in a year."
Paths. Dalinar could not choose his end. but perhaps his path.
The old magic can change a person, Evie had said. Make something great of them.
Dalinar stood up taller. He turned and stepped toward Adolin, seizing him by the shoulder.
I've been a poor father these last few years, Dalinar said.
Nonsense, Adolin said.
I've been a poor father, Dalinar repeated, raising his finger. To you and your brother both. You should know how proud I am of you.
Adolin beamed, glowing like a sphere right after a storm. Glory Spren sprang up around him.
We will go to war together, Dalinar said, like we did when you were young. I will show you what it is to be a man of honor. But first, I need to take an advance force without you, I'm afraid, and secure the Shattered Plains.
We talked about that, Adolin said, eager. Like your elites from before. Fast, quick. You'll march.
Sail, Dalinar said.
Sail?
The rivers should be flowing, Dalinar said. I'll march south, then take a ship to Dumadari. From there, I'll sail to the Ocean of Origins and make landfall at New Natanin. I'll move in toward the Shattered Plains with my force and secure the region, preparing for the rest of you to arrive.
That would be a sound idea, I guess, Adolin said.
It was sound. Sound enough that when one of Dalinar's ships was delayed and Dalinar himself remained in port, sending most of his force on without him, nobody would think it strange. Dalinar did get himself into trouble. He would swear his men and sailors to secrecy and travel a few months out of his way before continuing on to the Shattered Plains. Evie had said the old magic could transform a man. It was about time he started trusting her.